The following shiur is being recorded for TorahDownloads.com, a project of the Yehuda Mann Foundation, Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Aryeh ben Yoshua Yakir.
We're holding by Rav Shmuel Hirsch's shita, and like I said before, one thinks of Shmuel Hirsch as being sweetly poetic and kind of a very, very benign, saintly person, which he was, but the tzad, his kanos and his strength comes out in this volume, actually. And let's just give a little background, because it's a sugya in history. There was a reform movement. The reform movement basically went and said, it's all a bunch of nonsense, and let's dump the whole thing, pretty much, and that's how reform went. So, you know, Rav Shmuel Hirsch came, in a sense, after reform had devastated Germany, and he wasn't going to argue with that. He was just going to take people that were lost and bring them closer to Hashem. There wasn't much to fight with the reformer anymore. However, there was another movement which became a forerunner, I guess, of the conservative movement today. It's called the Positivist History, and it's Chaim Frankel, Krachmol, to some degree, Gretz. Basically, these were people that said Judaism is very, very important. Judaism has a long tradition of thousands of years. You don't play around with it. People who made these laws were very wise people who withstood the test of time, and very, very, very positive, but very clear that they came not from God, but from wise people. Some of these people were his own Talmidim. There was a whole, this is what became, I guess, more the beginning of Yiddish Wissenschaft, with Jewish studies, and very similar, I guess, to what the conservative movement was, the JTS is today, or was yesterday. The scholarly seeing a lot of value and having a lot of positive feelings about Jewish histories and traditions, but denying that it came from Hashem. The place he has a lot of pieces against Gretz, but Gretz was quite clearly not in his camp. There was no Havamina, so he attacks him on a lot of historical inaccuracies in the way he writes about Chazal. That takes up a big part of it. He reserves the strongest and attacks against somebody named Zachariah Frankel, who wrote an introduction to Mishnah and to Talmud, and that's really where he goes after. The introduction to the Mishnah starts with a very, very flowery language explaining how wise the men of the Mishnah were and how the making of Jewish laws could only trust the most wisest people, and very, very flowery language. But if you look at it with an open eye, basically the point is, but it's not God's word anymore. He really lashed out against it. Other Rabbanim defended him. Some Rabbanim defended him, defended Frankel, not him, called him a Kanoi and Chalashem, because he wrote it in German. And he responded that he will eat every word of his. All Chaim Frankel has to say is, I believe that Torah Shebaal Peh came from Sinai, and I will readily admit that I was, you know, that I was vile and nasty and so on and so forth. Let's just hear that sentence. And it never came. But he does write within the context of that piece. He writes that the Yud Gimel Midos basic function was a double check on the Mesoris. In other words, the following. Everything that's in Torah Shebaal Peh has a remez and a shoresh in Torah Shebiksav. The halachas themselves were given Misinai, but they also have a drasha, except for a handful that we shall call, that the Gemara calls Halacha Mishnah Sinai. Halacha Mishnah Sinai means it has no shoresh in Torah Shebiksav. There is nothing we can associate it with. Everything else is associated with something. And that provides for us a very strong double check on the halacha. So two of my rebbe are arguing. Each one says, I remember my rebbe said this, this one says, I remember my rebbe said that. So we can use svar to determine which, you know, which one rebbe said which one did. And then he asks him, Minna hanimili. A halacha like that has to be someplace. Where do you think you can dodge it from? Says, I dodge from this pasuk. No, you don't, because I need it for something else. So there is, the Tanoim and Amoraim could not use Yud Gimel Midos to learn new halachas, but it was a very valuable tool in ascertaining the veracity of the old halachas. That's pretty much, he's not making that point, Jean-Paul Hirsch, but that's the thing that he keeps saying. It's as if, it's very clear that that's how he understood it. So in my mind, it's a kind of middle ground between the two extremes of everything just being an asmachta ba'alma from memory, or everybody being able to take out their diktuk and making halachas. That is, those are three approaches to this to the inyan over here of how the drushes work. To complete, I guess, the point, I would like to add another hesber that a little bit of Chaim HaKadosh says it in one way, and the Maharal says it in another way. Just complete the picture about something, about the Rabbanans. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says that the Ikar HaMelech B'Torah is to be Mechaber Torah Sheba'al Peh V'Torah Shebiksav. Meaning, the reason, it's not only that Chazal used Yud Gimel Midas as a check, but actually it's very important that when we learn, even when the Chatchila learned the Halacha, one needed to see it ramus in Torah Shebiksav. The Shleimus of Torah requires that Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebiksav be inextricably bound together. That is the way in which he described it. That's our Chaim HaKadosh. The Maharal says he is Yesod, and this is very good Yesod for understanding the Rabbanan and drushes for Rabbanans, which Rabbi Yitzchak Zalevi raised, like we said before. And he says the following. In the Torah itself has many inyanim that are Torah correct, but the Torah did not mandate it. For instance, let's take an example. It says, Viskadashtem v'isem k'toishim, that one is learned from Mayim Rishonim, one is learned from Mayim Chonim. Both Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Chonim are Rabbanis. No doubt about it. So why do we learn it from a pasuk? Someone else says it's the other way around. The Torah does have a concept of Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Chonim, but did not mandate it. The Rabbanan mandated it, but the Rabbanan had a feel for what the Torah wants, or what the Torah holds to be a real inyan. L'mashal, Tumas Avodah Zarah. So, it by learning it from Psukim, what we're saying is the Torah describes a Tumas Avodah Zarah, but doesn't actually mandate it and doesn't put it into the halacha. The Torah wasn't mechayiv it. So the chiyuv is Rabbanan, and therefore all dinei Rabbanan apply to it, whereas the actual mandating of it is that is Rabbanan, but the Torah already spoke of it. So this is kind of a hashlama to the point of Rabbi Tzvi. Yes.
That last point, Rabbi, that Rabbi was speaking about tomorrow, would that only apply to the Rabbanans that come from a pasuk?
Probably. In other words, there were Rabbanans that quite obviously were just gzeros and so on. But Rabbanan came along, and a very good riot to that, the Avi Avos of that would be Kriyas Megillah. It says when Esther wanted to read the Megillah, the Chacham said, no, we have a pasuk that says, you know, Shileshim and Atribeim, that three times will be Kriyas Megillah, will be four times. Then Hadash Kachud Adash, another pasuk. I mean, she certainly wanted it as a Rabbanan, not a Doraisa. So first we had a pasuk with a Raisa not to have it, then we had a pasuk with a Raisa yes to have it, but we're talking about a clear Rabbanan, not even a Shaila. And the answer is, when the Rabbanan are trying to make when they're trying to introduce a concept of Kriyas Megillah. So the question is, is it compatible with the Torah? Does the Torah have room for Mechias HaMolek? So at first we looked at the Pesukim and we said no. The Torah said thrice there'll be Mechias HaMolek, fourth time does not exist. So we can't create a Mechias HaMolek a fourth time, Drabonim. Masha'en Kei, and then they found another Pesuk where, yes, they could do it. So it would apply types of things where they're introducing a new idea, a new concept, and so on. So briefly, to sum up, we have the following points. We were speaking about Bez Nagadol. We were very comfortable with the idea of dashing Yud Gimel Midas as a way to learn up new things. The Gemara, the whole Talmud, Mishnah Talmud era, which was not a Bez Nagadol while it was going on, could they use Yud Gimel Midas? And by extension, that would mean we could use Yud Gimel Midas. So we found the Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. Very hard to pin the Rambam down, whether he's talking. The Rambam on the surface seems to be just saying that you can't ever know from the Gemara when the Gemara doesn't have a Pasuk, whether it's a Doraisa, whether it's an Asmacht, or whatever it is. Ramban argues and says it's a Doraisa. The Rambam and Halacha refers to a Divrei Sofrim and so on. So that's one Machlokas that we touched on. We mentioned the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Sukkah, whether can every person, and I assume the person we're talking about would be a Tana Mora simply because they had the know-how, can you darshan Pesukim on your own or not? Rashi says only Kal Vachomer because that's sort of a logical Svara, and Tosfos says yes you can. Then we mapped out the three major approaches of the last generation where these topics became very, very they became very actual, and there was a lot of polemic around it, and that is the Malbum who gives ironclad dictic rules that basically anyone could have used because they're simply logical dictic rules, very, very sharp and very insightful ones, to Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi, who says the opposite, that everything had to come a Masoris, and these all the drushes in the Torah are just Asmachtas Balma, to what we saw, what I think Rav Shmuel Hirsch understood, and I think many others understand it that way, that it is a double check system. In other words, every halacha in the Torah came in itself and has a place in a drusha. We can use that drasha to help us understand the halacha itself as well. Just, I guess, to give a few marmer comments for reference, on these type of topics, there is a sefer called Kol Kisei Maratzchias. Maratzchias was a rav in Europe at the time of Chassam Sofer. He was considered, I guess, what we call today modern orthodox. Actually, Rav Kutner's daughter wrote a doctorate on him. He was a very interesting person. But he wrote a sefer, it's a collected works. He dealt with a lot of these topics about Torah Sheva'al Peh and so on. It's quite long. It's two volumes. One is Tshuvas of his. But he deals with a lot of these off topics. A Navi Bim Chadash Halachis, a Rasha, a Melech, Drashas of Chazal, and all of these type of things called Kol Kisei Maratzchias. Basically, these are Sfarim that deal with all of these things. If we have a few minutes time left,
we do it.
What?
Yeah,
we have
15 minutes.
Okay, so I would like to go on to be mashlim another topic we raised. And that was the we spoke about Chassimus HaTalmud. What about for us arguing with the Shulchan Aruch? Shas, we saw that Chassimus HaShas has its dynamic, and that's that. What about the Shulchan Aruch? Is there anything today that we can look on definitively and say we cannot argue with it? So, There is actually a there's a place where we can deal with it, and it brought that in halacha itself. The let's slowly. The Shulchan Aruch himself paskind, and the Beis Yosef writes the following. How did he come to the Shulchan Aruch? He says that today we can no longer paskin through Raias or Tainus, and therefore he was going to take the three great poskim, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, and paskin two against one. That is what he uses as a rule of thumb, because he doesn't feel he feels we no longer have the ability to paskin a din from the Gemara ourselves. If one of those three didn't have an opinion, and it was Machlokas, he would use the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran and the Mordechai and so on and so forth. And he said if there was a topic that none of the three spoke about, he would try to go. The Lashon is Nifso Kedivri Chachamim for Samim Shekos V'Daitem B'Dinahu. V'Derech Zu Derech Hamelech Nechoina V'Das Maharim Michshol. So basically, he says the right way to Paskin is to go with the general, with the great Amudei Haroah, and that's it. Why did he pick those three? How did he get to those three? He writes, Geheim Shloshes Amudei HaHorah Asher Beis Yisrael Nishalem Beraseh. Klal Yisrael as a whole, if you encompass everybody, these are the three great poskim that Klal Yisrael has accepted. The Ramah argues, obviously, and the Ramah has a sefer on the Torah called Darkei Moshe, and his Akdami writes the following. He says it's very nice that the Beis Yosef looked up at the Gdolim and he passed him like the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh. But he says, I don't understand. He says, you go Basa Basroi, not Basa Kamoi. What about the great Gaonim that arose afterwards? The halacha is you pass him like Basroi and not like Kamoi, and therefore you must take in the opinion of the later poskim. And he says, besides which, he simply disregards the minhag of Ashkenaz, that they all go with Tosfos and the Maram and the Rav Yoh and the Mordechai and the Ashri and the Balatur and so on and so forth. So and he says, I don't understand. He says we have the great poskim in Ashkenaz, the Azarua, the Mordechai and so on and so forth, and therefore he says that we ben Ashkenaz should not go like them. And therefore he made his safe as Ashlama to it. So it's very, I guess if you needed to ask yourself what is the gather, so to speak, why, so what binds us, can we pass enough like the Shulchan Aruch? That's sort of the issue. And the Shulchan Aruch, its validity, the way himself writes, is because of this is the poskim that Karsal has accepted. So let's say that were to change. In other words, is it in any way different than having poskim that are, let's say all the poskim they would start doing differently? Lamashal, and here we have something that is very shaykh, the Magen Avraham and the Taz. And all, you know, all the later Nosakalim would paskin not like Ramah, not like the Shulchan Aruch. So possible it would change. In other words, where the Nosakalim disagree with Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch, we go with them. What I've always found interesting, I don't have an answer for it, is so how do I know? I mean, the first people that did this, that changed from Shulchan Aruch, whatever it is, the Magen Avraham, whoever argued, Lechura was doing something wrong, or was he not doing something wrong? In other words, I understand the general concept that you go Basar Arov or Nispashet Aminhag, but I'm not quite sure how the minhag got started. I have the same issue, actually, with the you know, we have takanis and gzeiros that were not mispashit. And therefore, the Rambam says if they're not mispashit, they're not chal. Or they can be overthrown, whatever. But what does it mean not mispashit? Like, who was the first shegetz to say no? I don't have a clear. There is one more place where what is considered to be normative halacha is mentioned. This is a very important place. It is in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Chof Hei. Over there, the halacha is, let's say a dayan made a mistake. Does he have to pay or not? Can he reverse his psak and so on? So I'm going to read, it says as follows. If there is a mistake, a dayan that paskens din mamonis, if he paskens against a mefurish mishnah gemara or divrei haposkim, that's what he calls it, a dinim of rosh be mishnah be gemara or be divrei haposkim, choza hadin v'dona isa kehalacha. You repaskin it. So in other words, the dayan forgot him for a sifah shacharuch, or certainly Gemara repasses it. Miu, he says, hago, the Ramah argues, doesn't argue, but he qualifies it. Miu, he says, yesh omrim dimnira ledayan levnei doro mikoach rayos mochrochos she'ein adin moshos v'poskim. Let's say the post, the Rambam and the Rif and so on wrote that. But the Dayan and the people of the generation feel that they made a mistake. Yachol lachokalov. You can argue. Me'acha she'enu niska be'gemara because it's not mentioned in Gemara. The Torah brings it from the Rosh, he says. Mikol makom, he says, the Ramah, ein lahokal bedava she'chmiru ba'chiburim she'nespasu b'rov Yisrael. You should not be makel and not paskin like the sperm that have been spashed in Kli Yisrael and become a kubla Kli Yisrael. Im lo shekibul me rabosov shenogin kol sechumra. Unless he was mekalfim rabosov, then you don't go with sechumra. Now, the problem with this is it's so difficult to quantify any of it. Dvarim gluim v'duim dinim v'rashim mishnah gemara, that's clear. That we have no problem with. But then he says, obedivrei haposkim. Who those poskim are? Who determines what a posik is? What gives him the status of a posik and so on? Blank. The Ramos says, however, if he thinks, if he has riots against the poskim, you can argue. He ought not to do it, so that means the following. Technically he can do it and he doesn't have to repaskin, he doesn't have to pay. He ought not to do it, it's not appropriate to do it unless it's a kalmi rabble. So was his rabble doing right or not? Very, very hard to figure out what that means exactly. The Goyen in over there in Simon Chafei says, why is it that after the Goyen says that you can argue on the Gaonim, and it doesn't mean himself, he means the Gaon of Sinat Talmud. Me'achas aliska b'gemara, the al ha'gemara ein reshus lahosev lo legroa kosken lachlok. You can't add to the gemara or take away from the gemara. Certainly not to argue. K'mashe kotzer b'perek ha'polim Rav Nirvashi sof ha'roa, which is very not clear what he means. Ein reshus legroa lahosev. He says you can't argue on dida. So what it means that you can't add or take away. Not clear in the Goyen. Yes.
Doesn't the Goyen argue on the Gemara in places as well?
No, the Goyen never argues on the Gemara. The Goyen argues on Rishonim. Never argues on the Gemara. Faket. The Goyen goes very stark. The Goyen will go with Gemaras against Rishonim. What is not uncommon in Shacharach is the Beis Yos, the Mechaba, will go with Dina de Gemara. The Ramah will bring Minhage Ashkenaz, which many times are different than the Gemara, and the Goyen will be noted to the Beis Yosef because it's Dina de Gemara. It seems to be not uncommon in the Dark Yapsak. Like upon him, so this is a whole area, and the Chazanish writes in a letter, like, there are, the Chazanish writes in a letter that there are certain people that we look to as the Matikei Shmua and the Goyen and the Shacharuch. In other words, for us, this is, I guess, the Chaznish kind of Lishitoso, that even the Gemara itself, it's just that there was a sense that the Mesoros went through there. And there's a sense that there has been a Mesoros. And it's not, you know, when a person comes along, digs up a Rishon someplace that never was part of the main Mesoros of Klal Yisrael, we do have a Mesoros. We have the Rif, we have the Rambam, we have the Rosh, we have the Tur, we have the Beis Yosef, we have Shachar, we have Ramah. There has been Klal Yisrael's Mesoros. There are very interesting Shitas, all sorts of Shitas, but they don't seem to be part of Mesoros. On Kopanim, I did leave off a few things that are unclear, and they are actually unclear. I mean, just, I think it's important at least to know where and what. So when somebody says you can't argue Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, the truth is there are places where you argue, and the klal is where there seems to be a huge consensus of poskim, you go Basa Basroi. Any one individual would not go against, would not argue with Kamoi, but when there's a large consensus, you do seem to be able to go with it. So that takes care of a second point, and then we'll move on to Mir Tashem next week. But I wanted to cover basically the two areas we covered to finish up Yud Gimel Midas and Times at Gemara, how that worked, and today what becomes binding. So the Gemara, the Shas, Chassidus HaShas, seems to be based on the Gemara that Ravina and Rav Asher Sof Hora, and that's the Gemara, that's the basis for it, and we saw different shittas in it, and after the Gemara, there is something that the Shulchan Aruch calls Divrei HaPoskim, which is obviously something that's hard to quantify. There is the Ramah that says that's not absolutely binding, like the Goyen says, that the absolutely binding is only the Gemara, but it's something that a person should bear in mind and not paskin differently, unless the Ramah says he has a Mesoros from his Rebbe. Very fascinating piece, but I think that's just the shlemus of the evening. Okay.